morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. No separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust, here in America. He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church, therefore the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions. Amen. As we interpret from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. Started to say Merry Christmas, ho, 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 but that's a little early, probably.
Well, for maybe a few people, not everybody.
Yeah, since we just came through Thanksgiving.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Did you?
Yes, I did.
We took that day off from our radio audience and from each other. Took it off from each other as well.
We did.
And so we're back today, live.
We're back today, live and in color.
And if folks wanted to talk to us, how would they do that? We're having a little technical difficulty here.
Yeah, hold on just a second.
That'll teach us, taking off like that.
There we go. Hopefully that took care of it.
Yeah.
789-0318, if you'll give us a phone call, 789-0318. You can also email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. Our Facebook page, God's Point of View, we are live video, I guess is what we should.
There you go.
They call it streaming on Facebook.
Yeah.
And then you have your personal, personal communication device. How's that?
Oh, yes. Personal communication device. That would be my cellular device. I remember a number of years ago when they first came out with the bag phones.
Oh, yeah.
Which
still got mine.
I still have my bag phone.
I do, too.
Did we throw that away? We cleaned the garage out. But anyway, I remember Mike's dad.
Yeah.
Paul Fife. We were going in the radio station just across the street.
Yeah.
And he said, I said, Paul, what are you carrying? He said, this is called a bag phone. And, I said, a bag phone? He said, yeah. He said, preacher, you need one. I said, what are you talking about? Why would I ever need a phone to carry with me? Well, it wasn't long till I got the bag phone. And it's been an upward spiral since then. But anyways, 367-0137, of course, out of the area, you want to hit that 1-606. But in the area, 367-0137. You could text me. You could call me. You could call and leave a message. You could text or call. I thought of that old comedian. Remember him? He said, you don't have to call me Ray. You can call me Ray. You can call me Ray J. But you don't have to call me, what was it, Mr. Johnson? Is that what it was?
Anyway, I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember.
We're having a little fun here today. We were gone last week, did we say?
We have to make up the difference.
Oh, of course. Got a text message this morning. You got the same message. Let's just jump right into it. What do you say?
Yeah, from our brother down in Winchester.
Yeah, and then we want to talk about a couple of things that's in the news. If we get a couple of calls, then we'll take them, of course. Mm-hmm. We're on the air to help people see Jesus. To see Jesus more clearly, and our show is on the air for you, the listener.
Yes.
We're trying to advance the kingdom of God. Our agenda is clear. We want to get you to heaven, if at all possible, and we'll go to great lengths to do that. So the program, as the brother mentioned, is made possible by the church. The church values evangelism.
Yes.
That's our top priority, is to seek and to evangelize the lost.
Yep.
All right. So the question we got this morning, let me get my cellular device out of my coat pocket.
It's not the bag phone, is it?
No. The bag phone is...
it takes a big
pocket. The more I think about that, we may have tossed it. I don't think we did.
Oh, if you need one, I've got one. Don't you worry.
Thank you, brother.
I haven't tossed my... It looks brand new last time I saw it.
Yeah. So here's the question. I'm just going to read it. That'd be the best one.
I think that'd be a good thing.
Says, brothers, hope we can tackle a question.
Come
What's
on.
Up with this guy? Says, good brother, we love him.
We do.
Down around Winchester, Kentucky, by the way.
I did say that, yes, sir.
Oh, did you say that?
I did say that.
Says, why are Jesus' genealogies accounted for differently in Luke and Matthew? That's one of those, Each gospel seems to differ, starting at one of David's son. Matthew follows Solomon, Luke follows Nathan. Both gospels seem to either start or end going back through Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. Jesus was born with the Virgin Mary, of course, and include David, Abraham, but yet are different. Why are they different? Thanks, guys. Good question. And I have right here in my, as one brother says, my formerly nicotine-stained hands, I have a copy of the Holy Scriptures.
The Biblos.
And I have it turned here to Matthew. And it begins, the genealogy of Jesus, that's what it says over the heading, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and so on. It goes down about 14.
There's a lot of names.
A lot of names. Some people have questioned it because there are other people in the genealogy that weren't mentioned. Well, if you mentioned everybody, so what he's doing, he's giving us an overview.
Yes.
Now, you go to Luke's account, and Luke's account starts in Luke chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll be in Luke's gospel this month, Christmas time, you know, with the infant baby Jesus and all of those wonderful things. I love Christmas time, brother. I just love it.
I do too.
And get over about verse 23, and it says, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. Had to be 30 before you could have a public ministry as a Jew. He was had to be 30 before you could be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi. I memorized all these years ago, and I used to pace back and forth on holy carpet. It really was holy. I wore holes in it. But I would quote these and repeat these as I walked, and the faster I walked, the faster I quoted. But all that aside, the main reason these are different, these are called the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Four different accounts of the same miraculous episode in the history of the world. There's been nothing ever like it before, never will be again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
And so, thank you, brother, very timely there. And so, Matthew's account is giving us, and you'll notice it says, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Matthew is writing to Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He's writing about 96 A.D. Matthew's not the oldest gospel. Mark is thought to be the oldest.
I see.
Mark's written about 53 A.D.
I understand.
And Luke maybe 62, 63. We don't know for sure. Anybody tries to tell you they know those dates exactly. Just they'll story to you about that. They'll story to you about other things. We have approximate dates.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke's account... probably about 62, 63. John's account, the Apostle John, about 96 A.D. Matthew is writing to give us the kingly line. Very mention of David.
The royal family.
There you go. He has to convince the Jew. Jesus has a right, praise God, to be king.
Amen. Amen. Because the Jews weren't real receptive of this.
Oh, no.
You know.
Don't forget, they crucified him.
Absolutely.
Along with the Romans.
Yeah.
That's not popular sometimes.
But the more proof you have, as Matthew, I guess, was thinking, the more proof I have, the more I can prove this, the easier it is you're going to be to believe this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Luke's account.
Oh, now. He's not writing to Jews, is he?
No. Luke's account is proving the bloodline.
There you go.
The bloodline. So Jesus didn't have Joseph's blood in him.
Mm-mm.
He had Mary's blood.
Yes.
So he has a valid justification to be in the bloodline, because Mary was in the bloodline of all these people that are mentioned here of the Jewish faith. And Matthew's writing saying he's also of the kingly line.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's qualified in every way to be Lord, priest, and king.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. I hope that answers the question for the brother. He's not a bit backward. He'll write us again if it doesn't.
Well, and I
and
guess
we want him to.
If we broke it down in today's terms, we have different family that branches off, and you could describe our family several different ways. But
oh,
we're
yeah.
all still from the same people.
Oh, yeah.
And the same family.
Yeah, yeah. The Jews had a way of also rounding things off in certain numbers, certain categories. I think there are 14 generations listed here.
Mm-hmm.
And one commentary will tell you one thing, one another, but it's generally accepted that this is an overview of these individuals in the kingly line. Many of them were, in fact, kings. It starts with David. The Jews love David. See, the Holy Spirit is pretty smart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so he knew if he mentions David.
Oh, that'll perk up some ears.
Sure, sure. So if you're going to talk to somebody you might be at odds with, and somebody you're not sure of, and they're not sure of you, mention somebody you both respect.
Yeah.
That'll get your foot in the door.
That'll put you on some level or ground.
Yeah, 789-0318, or godspointofview@yahoo.com, or 606-367-0137. Well, when I heard this yesterday, Timotheus and fans and friends.
Brothers and sisters.
There you go. We're about to have church here, aren't we?
Amen.
So I saw this and I thought, this must be something out of a science fiction movie.
Well, there's a lot of that going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of those movies where the byline or the description of it when it first comes on says, renegade scientist violates global moral standards to engineer a new breed of humans. Well, that gets your attention.
Yeah. That'll sell some paper.
But that wasn't what happened. There wasn't a byline for a movie or a news, a news item that wasn't real. It really has happened. A Chinese scientist. He's known as Dr. He. And he's a researcher with Rice University. He did some work at Stanford University, both American universities and higher institutions of learning. Has announced this past week that he has created the world's first genetically edited babies.
Yeah, he was it twin daughters,
yeah.
twin girls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the sperm was donated by an individual with HIV.
Okay.
And so what he was wanting to do was to manipulate the genes to remove that gene, genome, whatever it's called, genetic marker, that would eliminate them contacting the disease.
I see.
Now, let me be quick to say that while this, he says, took place, scientists, many around the world, are discrediting him.
Mm.
And some of the institutions that he was with are denouncing him.
Oh.
That he wasn't even with, he's no longer with them. One of them said, I think he's completely insane.
Oh, wow.
And another one talks about the fact that people without normal CCR5 genes, that's the one he manipulated. Now, Timotheus, this is far above my pay grade. I don't understand any of this, except I know what I read and who I read after and what I believe. And what I believe is that this is one of the most risky, dangerous processes that a man could ever embark upon. But it says that people with the normal CC5R gene face higher risk of getting certain other viruses, such as West Nile virus, and dying from the flu. So you manipulate that, which God put in us,
mm-hmm.
you try to change that, and you could have some big problems. Here's the bottom line. This is exactly I'm not going to go through all of that unless somebody calls and wants to talk about it. This is a new Tower of Babel. Is
yes.
what this is.
Yes.
They tried to build the tower to get to heaven.
Yeah.
To show God they were in charge.
Yeah. That didn't work out so well.
It didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
And one of the scientists, I've got his name right here. Right here close to my heart, if I can find it.
That's String Bean.
Yeah, old String Bean. He was something. There's our brother, little old, says, thanks, brother. So you're welcome, brother. So here's the bottom line. They're trying to be God.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying their best to be God. July 25th, just a little history. July 25th, 2003, the first test tube baby turned 25. Robert Edwards, who, along with his partner, this is all sent, all this is centered around the LGBT stuff.
Mm.
Patrick Steptoe pioneered the procedure. Graced the occasion with a rare but candid interview with the Times of London. Here's what he said. Quote, "It was a fantastic achievement, but it was about more than infertility," said Edwards, then 77, emeritus professor of human reproduction at Cambridge University. It used to be a Christian university. They're straight from that.
Yeah.
He said again, quote, "I wanted to find out exactly who was in charge."
Hmm.
"Whether it was God himself or whether it was scientists in the laboratory." And then he triumphantly smiled and said, "It was us."
Oh. That's now, dangerous.
Oh boy, I don't want to be standing close to him. No. That's blasphemy.
Yep.
While technology may be the new Tower of Babel, here's the deeper reality of it to both this. It's going to end just like the first Tower of Babel ended. You wait and see.
Yep. And I believe, and I just kind of heard it in passing on the national news that was just on at the top of the hour, the Chinese government or something said that they were, that is to be ceased. And I guess they have decided, this is not taking place. Because I just heard that in passing. Now, I don't know, I don't have all the information probably that I need to discuss it intelligently, but that's just something I heard, and I thought, it just kind of caught my ear.
Yeah.
And I thought, what in the world is going on here? So now I know.
Yeah. Well, it's called CRISPR. That's an acronym for something. I don't know what. But anyway, it's a mess.
Yeah.
And they just keep pushing the envelope. Do people still say that? Pushing the envelope. Everybody knows what I mean by that.
Yeah.
They keep testing and testing, going further and further and further. Yeah. And if you watch this, eventually you'll see that it always comes back to the LGBT TV stuff. LGBT.
LGBT?
LGBT. Q.
Q.
Question mark.
Something, yeah.
So you're not going to outsmart God. You're not going to outwit God. You're not going to do better than God. The devil's tried that. Everything that God has done, the devil's counterfeited it. Mm-hmm. And it's not real, but he makes it look good to people. And that's what's happened here. Scientists are godless scientists who do this and then laugh about it.
Ooh.
Wanting to be better than God is just like those trying to get to heaven with the Tower of Babel. And they're godless individuals. They don't believe in God. And they won't take all the credit. I got to thinking about what men like that think about when they die. And we know from history what some have thought.
Yeah, I've heard some just think that life just ends.
Yeah.
It's just done.
Yeah, you're just like old Rover. You're dead all over.
Yeah, exactly.
But what did the death of Christ, what does it really mean? Now, we're talking this coming month about the birth of Christ, but you can't talk about the birth of Christ without discussing the death of Christ.
Because that's the whole reason he came.
Sure. There was nothing miraculous about the birth of Jesus.
Well, now, wait a minute.
The conception was miraculous.
Oh, okay. All right.
Aha.
You got me on that
one. Got you on that one. The birth was just like every other birth.
Every other birth.
Her water broke and he was born.
Yeah.
Boy, we guys make it sound simple, don't we?
Yeah, and every lady out there that's had a child probably read.
I told Ann after our second child was born, I said, "Don't put me through this again. I can't stand it."
You are a brave man.
Oh, boy.
That's almost as brave as him.
I found out who was in charge, and it wasn't us.
Yeah, it wasn't you either, that boy, brother. So that's why you only had two girls.
There you go, brother. Yeah, she had two words for me when she came out of the delivery room. Never again.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's talk about some fellas that have died, that the world knows their names. They're very popular, and a lot of people follow them. Gautama Buddha. We don't know his name, Gautama, much, but we know Buddha, the name Buddha.
Yeah.
It means the enlightened one. He was traveling one time to a place, and he ate a large meal of pork and fell violently ill. Probably wasn't prepared properly. That's why God told the Israelites not to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to cook that at a certain temperature to kill that whatever's on the inside of it.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, he died in 483 B.C. at the age of 80. That doesn't lend itself for any glorification. Well, he died because he had a bad meal. Come on.
Not too much miraculous business going on there.
It might even been gluttony. Bible says if you're given to gluttony, put a knife to your throat. I hope you weren't glutton this last Thursday, Timotheus.
I have repented.
All right. Just go ahead and do it and repent later, right?
Oh, my.
5 years later, that'd be 488 B.C., 478 B.C., because you got to go backwards when it's B.C.
Yes.
Yeah. Five years later. 478, Confucius became ill. He lay in bed for 7 days, died at the age of 72. Neither Buddha nor Confucius believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
400 B.C., civil war between Sparta and Athens ended. You thought that was just a movie you watched late one night. But it was a reality. A politician reaction followed, and in 399 B.C., Socrates.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard of old Socrates.
Yeah.
Of course, one of my wife's students used to call him Socrates. Socrates, at 70 years of age, died a beautiful and pleasant death.
Well, if you don't believe in God, I don't know how beautiful and pleasant it could be for you.
The vote had been 281 against him and 220 for him. He died through the administration of drugs.
Oh.
They say that drugs can make you die a pleasant death. I don't know.
I could probably see that.
I heard this morning about marijuana. They're going to put it in some kind of a new drink now. And going to be different kinds. You can drink it to feel good. You can drink it to feel really good. Different levels of whatever it's called.
Hmm. I don't know. I'm completely ignorant when it comes to those things. Right. I can't help you, brother.
You know, I wouldn't know it if I saw it.
Well,
I've seen a lot of it.
I have seen it, and I can tell you if I smell it. I have smelled it.
I can tell you what it smelled like.
But that's as far as I can go with you. I don't know anything else about it much.
Then in 632, Muhammad became, he's the leader of the Islamic faith.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pedophile. Did you know that, Timotheus?
Yes.
Engaged at 6 and married a little girl at 9.
Hmm.
Anyway, became violently ill with headaches and fever and died unsensationally in bed.
Hmm.
And yet, a third of the world follows him.
Hmm.
Now, let's just recap. Look at these deaths. Death of Buddha, founder of Buddhism. The death of Confucius, the founder of Confucianism. The death of Socrates, founder of Platonism. The death of Muhammad, the founder of Islam. No redemption ever mentioned. No grace is ever attached to any of their deaths. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ was born so that grace and forgiveness of sin would be attached to him forever.
Amen.
The crucifixion and the agony of Jesus was so different. It's unique is the word. It is unique among all spiritual leaders. And I might also say, unduplicated.
Absolutely.
Never going to happen again.
Never going to happen again.
In Christ's death was born the redemption and the atonement for all of his followers. Out of the sufferings of Christ, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, from the scar of his side there was taken and there was born the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul would say later, this is a great mystery.
Amen.
Wow. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. My. 7890318 or godspointofview@yahoo.com.
5.5 minutes left of the show.
All righty, sports fans. Here we go.
For a quick call.
Did you know, Timotheus?
I'll have to wait till you ask the question before I can answer.
Yeah. Did you know, all-knowing one?
No.
Salami, baloney.
No.
Did you know that the first Thanksgiving... Now, I know it's past, but some folks still eating leftovers.
Yeah, I got a little bit of leftovers.
First Thanksgiving was a communist religious enterprise.
No.
Aren't you glad you got out of bed and came to the show today?
Always.
Did you know that when the pilgrims came to America, they established a communist society? From 1621 to 1623.
2 whole years.
They suffered hunger.
Yes.
Nearly starved to death. Pilgrims were deeply religious people, you know.
Yeah, and over half of them died.
Yes.
Right?
But they were so hungry that they stole food from their starving fellow workers. So, Governor William Bradford said this. Some complained that they were too weak to work. Young men complained because they had to work hard to feed other men and their wives and children. Women rebelled when ordered to cook for men, not their husbands, and when they were asked to wash their clothes. They said they were little better than slaves, and their husbands said they would not permit their women folk to do that kind of labor.
People, there was dissension.
Oh, yes.
Boy, I mean, it was a mess.
Sure, because of the system. We don't think of it as communism, but it was.
It had the elements thereof.
In 1623, they turned away from the communal, the communistic communal property in the common storehouse, and they gave each family a parcel of land. And said, you hold this, you plant this. Here he is again now, quoting from William Bradford, first governor. Women went into the fields willingly, taking their children along with them. All the women, men, children planted as much corn as they felt they could possibly work. People who had formerly complained that they were too weak to dig or to hoe, declaring it was tyranny to make them undertake such work, gladly began to plant and cultivate for themselves.
Amen.
God put that in us.
Yes.
When the harvest was brought in, I added that part there, God put that in us. That wasn't Brother Bradford.
Yeah.
When the harvest was brought in, instead of famine, there was plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And they all gave thanks to God. That's Matthew 25, folks. That's the parable, the five, the two, and the one talents.
Yeah.
And the first two doubled theirs. They had an initiative about them. Here's your sum of money, and that's what a talent was. I want you to take this. Luke's gospel says, occupy till I come. That means do business till I come. Don't bury it in the ground, like the one fellow did.
Like the last guy, yeah.
Yeah. So, that was Thanksgiving when it first started. Communism has never worked.
Hmm.
Never worked like it should. And never will. The church always has had the right idea. Now, somebody said, well, it's communism, not communism. And when the church started, that was a special situation. They were all together in one place, and they all chipped in to help. But it wasn't meant to stay that way. And it didn't stay that way because they began to scatter. God had to have persecution in the mix in order to get them to scatter, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, friend, you're thinking today of all the problems you've got.
There's a reason.
And it just may be God wants you to scatter.
Yeah.
God may want you to get up, quit feeling sorry for yourself, and get busy.
Yep.
Maybe. I don't know, Timotheus. Maybe.
It could be.
Yeah.
To stand still and pay attention.
Let me give you a motivator for that. What would be the highest motive, or one of the highest motives, to pray? Somebody says, well, God wants me to. That's a good motive. God told me to in Scripture, that's a good motive.
Mm-hmm.
Makes them feel close to God, that's a good motive.
But usually that doesn't motivate them enough.
How about this? Pray for rewards. Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will
reward
you. Ask God today, Father, help me. I will do whatever you want me to do, but I need you to reward me for it. And he will do it. A lot of Christians say, that's selfish, you shouldn't ask for that. Oh, pooey.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Let's hear it.
When you said, I'll do whatever you want me to do, I think that's where we fall short.
If you thought of being rewarded for it. Listen, Timotheus and folks, I'm in this for rewards.
Absolutely.
Jesus said in Revelation 22, he said, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I want a full reward, John writes in the epistles. Would you walk more thankfully? Would you work more cheerfully? Would you suffer more patiently? Would you fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil more courageously if you thought you were going to be rewarded for it? You know you would.
Amen.
Our grandkids will be over this afternoon. We got to get out of here. Our grandkids will be over this afternoon. And you know what? Tomorrow, depending on how they do today and tomorrow, and helping clean up and those kind of things, I reward them.
Amen.
And I give them all something, but the one who does the best, I give a little more.
Oh.
And then I try to motivate the others to emulate her.
Yeah.
Pray for rewards. Matthew 6:6. It'll cause you to be more faithful.
God bless you. New spirit.
Yes.
Thank you, brother. And that's going to do it for this edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. and church services, Bible study, Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So come and be with us at the Highland Church of Christ. Thanks for being with us today for another edition of God's Point of View.